We have reached conclusion of a series today where over the past 6 weeks we've looked at the theme of journeys. From the start of a journey to journey detours with the Good Samaritan, holiday picnics, feeding 5,000 people or about 10 people in the rain, followed by a bit of excitement with the fire truck afterwards. The arrival of the car journey. And now we reach the finale. We reach what we probably do in the car journey on the way home. We probably do when we get home. Or a few weeks later. And that's discussed the holiday memories. Memories are made when we look back at all that has happened and all that has done as we conclude the journey. What are your holiday memories from this past summer? It's been, that's a couple of weeks' time, Rupert. But it's the excitement. I was blessed to spend a day at a friend's wedding in Hertfordshire earlier this month. And I have to say, on car journey there, I saw probably about 2 or 3 rainbows. And it got me thinking as I sat down to consider and write the passage we read this morning, Genesis 9, verses 8 to 17. We read about Noah and the coming of the ark. The arrival of the ark on top of Mount Ararat. I asked myself, I wonder what memories Noah and his family had during that year on the ark. What kind of conversations might he had? Was it about the future, when the ark comes to stop? Or what they'd seen in the 600 years Noah had been alive for? It's something we can always try and imagine. But it reminded me one thing of one memory from the events of Noah's Ark, the rainbow, which God gave to the world to remind us that he would never flood the world again. As we see in Genesis 9:15, where God said, I will remember my covenant between me and you. He remembers the covenant. I've got 3 points this morning as we explore more in depth. If you have looked at me, I've put as a subtitle for the PowerPoint, the end of the journey, memories. The first point I've got is beauty out of bad thing. We all know how water can ruin something, can ruin a piece of paper, but it can become useful. It can ruin cars as we drive into a flood, make our clothes wet. Going back to the passage we read, we do not know what the world looked like, but I can imagine it probably looked a bit like a farmer's field after the rain, with all the mud and everything. And it probably was a bit like that, probably, don't know, maybe years, but I'm sure God dried everything up quickly. A new leaf had been found. A second chance at life had been enabled through 6 people. The flood caused the world, which had fallen into a state of disrepair, with everyone sinning. But it enabled people to it gave Noah and family a way to start things new, to give people a bit of clarity on what was right or wrong. Just imagine, we're all descended from Noah, so I'm sure they couldn't imagine 7 billion people millions of years later. Noah, his wife, sons and daughters-in-law, would all, once everything had been fixed and gotten off the ark, be told to Be fruitful and multiply. We've seen this in Genesis 9:7, where God did tell them to. However, despite things getting ugly and the flood waters coming, we can only imagine the despair, the conversations of how long would it be before everything's in some sort of normality. That sounds familiar with the questions of normality during the COVID restrictions we've had. As a child, travelling up the A12, getting to the outskirts of Ipswich, there is a landmark that I'm sure we all know as Toys R Us, that would tell us that we're only half an hour away from home. As an adult, it would get to start and talking like about the journey, the events, the fun things we've done, and what an amazing time we had. The church also takes a journey, and sometimes it does go back to basics. They do discuss memories and things. That does enable us to remember that God does make beauty out of the ashes. He does rise us. It reminds me of a couple of Bible verses when on one hand we've got Job in Job 1:21 saying, "You give and take away, Lord, blessed be your name." And what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 3:9, and how we are just workers in God's service, that no matter how bad things get, he's still got a plan for us. I imagine for a while that things were brilliant. People weren't as into sin as they once were. And I find it interesting how Noah, story of Noah just jumps from the end of his story into the Tower of Babel. However, God gave everyone a hope, a reminder of the promise, a covenant, the rainbow, the promise from God that the world would never be destroyed again by a flood. This brings me to the next point, the promise of never destroying the world again. The rainbow is the promise that God we have that God will not flood the world again, but it also is a reminder that of hope. As we saw with pandemic, people were filled with hope whenever they saw a rainbow. However, we can look at another promise, promise that's first shown to Adam and Eve, the coming of Messiah to fix the world. When I read the story of Noah's Ark and start thinking about covenant, I am reminded of the question that I'm sure generations and generations after Noah might have had, how will we know the coming of Messiah? The prophets, they all foretold of the coming of Messiah. Prophet Isaiah mentions it a lot, the names of Jesus, that how he's going to suffer. And then we also read about other things in Jeremiah, Hosea, Zechariah, of what the Messiah will do. The memories of the flood is something a lot of people know. Researching online, there is so much evidence for the flood. Like, we've got fossilized jellyfish in Arizona. How does that happen? But I'm sure the first few generations after the flood, Noah's grandkids, great-grandkids, his 5 times great-grandkids were all probably told about the events of the destruction of humankind. Going back to basics. Today, a lot of people would ask simple question of, how can a loving God destroy the world? My response, simple one. Because God wants the world to be perfect. That the downfall of man, the sin, brought everything crashing down. As I mentioned earlier, during COVID pandemic, rainbow did become a symbol of hope, as it was after flood. Sin is a problem that we still have. However, God allows us the opportunity to come to cross off Jesus and just go fall to ground, face down with humility and thanksgiving. This brings me to my final point this morning, the future. Through God's love, his son Jesus Christ secured our salvation. Agreed? John's gospel, John just writes poetically in John 3:16, in how God so loved the world that he gave us his only begotten son, that whoever shall love him shall not perish but have eternal life. It's amazing that God loves the world. He loved it so much that he just, even though he flooded the world just to get things back to basics, he still loved the world. In Matthew's gospel regarding the future, Jesus does turn around and say, as in the days of Noah, so shall the second coming be. Yes, that verse strikes me. I am sure that Noah never expected everything to go back to how it was before his 600th birthday. Some people might say we're already there. Others say we might be nearly there. The Apostle Paul even says we need to just wait and watch. Furthermore, I am reminded that we need to be prepared for anything. In the way the Scouts' motto is, be prepared. That is true. We need to be prepared for anything. We are called to be the living gospel in all we do, our reactions, and how we live our lives. Remember, Noah probably did not have the best memory before the flood, apart from his family. He probably, memories before the flood, probably people ridiculing him and going, rain? There's no rain. Why are you on about, silly old fool? But God knew what he was doing. So let me ask, what are your summer memories this summer? Have you prayed with someone or for someone who is struggling in their faith? Have you even shared something about your faith? Going into the coming months, have you even thought about autumn? Christmas? That's only a mere 100 and something odd days away. But God knows the future. He knows what is going to happen. We remember what our parents taught us and the stories they told from their childhood. We remember our grandparents and stories they told us. If you're lucky, the great-grandparents. But it's amazing how they all brains turn round midway through story and go, we didn't know what's going to happen. And it is amazing to know that God does have the future in his hands. I title sermon as Memories, as it is the end of summer series. Children going back to school, parents and family members going back to work, grandparents getting ready for the quietness of the house before they go into half term. We have been on journey as well over the past few months and year. We've been on journey of faith. The leadership here, we've had an interesting journey in discerning what God wants us to do. The leaders of the country, they've also been on a bit of a journey trying to figure out what best to do. But it's all about faith. The prophet Jeremiah is right when he declares, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for a hope, and more importantly, plans for a future. God has a hope and future for all of us. And when we look back at the past with various memories of childhood games and things we've collected along the way, we will all see God at work. That's the beauty of hindsight. So to conclude this morning, I just want to say, imagine one conversation that might have happened between Noah and his wife after the flood. Just imagine what Mrs. Noah turning around to Noah and just saying, do you remember when God told you to build the ark when we hardly ever had rain? Noah had faith that God would provide and protect. Memories do include journeys of faith. Journeys help us to grow. I have to say personally, my faith has grown over the past year and a bit. And I'm sure as I look on Noah's on Zoom and everyone here in Fire, I'm sure your faith has grown. Memories do also include personal and physical journeys, which can sometimes be detoured or even just filled with remembrance of picnics and laughter and just playing fun childhood games. But just remember God's provision and safe travelling mercies when you just get into car. When I sit down in car, I just always pray, Lord, protect me as I travel. Even if I'm going round to shop or going to work, I always pray that. And as a church, we have come through an interesting time. And I can guarantee God is going to keep us safe through future. Let's pray before we sing and go into communion. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you've brought us safely to an end of a journey. And just pray that as we look into the next season of life, just pray that you will give us your continued travelling mercies and that we may be able to look at the memories we've had. Just praying this in your holy name. Amen.